as we move through the one another's in the Bible, we come across one that's controversial and often avoided. Look at it this way. Before the series began, if I asked you what it was to love one another or pray for one another or encourage one another, I'm sure you could have given me examples. You could have given me examples where you have been loved by someone in the church, or where you have encouraged someone in the church, or you have been prayed by or for by someone in the church. But how many of us can say, I have admonished some people in the church, or I have been admonished by people in the church? I would suspect that if I asked if anyone here had received being admonished in a very positive, healthy way, there might not be a good show of hands. Now, I wonder why that is. I wonder why in most churches we lack this ministry of admonishment. Is it because the church has done it so badly in the past that we simply avoid it? Is it because it's part of New Zealand culture to mind our own business and not to fuss over other people? Or is it because we're not sure what it actually is? Because it does sound like being told off. And who comes to church to be told off? However, when we dig deeper into the Bible, we find admonishing as a vital one another command. If we agree that loving one another, encouraging, praying for one another are important, then the Bible makes it very clear that admonishing one another is important for us as well. A healthy church is a church that from time to time folk admonish one another. So today, what we're going to look at, four things. We're going to look at why we should or could be admonishing one another. What is admonishing? Examples of admonishing. And then the practice of admonishing. So first of all, why do we need to admonish one another? Well, we saw that in our reading that we just had before in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now here we have the command to teach one another and admonish one another. Now, why didn't Paul just say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and teach one another? It would have been appropriate, the word of God dwelling, and then we teach the word to each other. Why did he add admonishing? Well, it's all to do with our spiritual compass. Spiritual compass. Let me explain. Long before we met Christ, our spiritual compass was pointing in completely the wrong direction. Our spiritual compass was pointing due south when our true north was where it should have been pointing to. We were heading in the wrong direction. We were lost, no sense of what life was about, and confused. Then things changed. By God's grace, we asked Christ into our life. And because we did, our lives did a complete reversal. We discovered our true north, a north that points to the living God and his ways. And the important things in life started to make sense. They started to fall into place, and we started to move towards healing and wholeness. So we now know what our true north is. However, we are a work in progress. Pride and self-indulgence are constantly at our side. And though the grip of sin is loosened, sin still strives to pull us away. Pull us away from our true north, back to ourself, back towards temptations, giving into temptations, back towards destructive ways. Now, to halt this misdirection, the swing away from true north, we need all of the one another's, but in particular, we need the admonishing one another. Because when we admonish one another, we are helping people to get back to their true north. We all stray from time to time, and so we all need loving brothers and sisters who will from time to time nudge us in the right direction. Admonishing one another plays a key role in keeping us centered on our true north. And so this brings us to what is admonishing another. In Colossians 3:16, we're told to admonish one another. What does it look like? Well, time for a dictionary definition. What does a dictionary say that admonishing is? Well, the Webster's Dictionary says this: when we admonish, we express a warning or disapproval, especially in a gentle, earnest, or concerning manner. That's what admonishing is. And there's a second definition, and the second definition is giving friendly, earnest advice or encouragement. Now, that's very different than a telling off. Very different than a telling off. So when we warn one another in a gentle, earnest, and concerned way, we are admonishing. When we give one another friendly, earnest advice or encouragement, again, we are admonishing. Now, Paul was forever doing this. You can't read Acts or his letters without seeing him admonishing. When he was travelling to Jerusalem for the last time and he was in the Mediterranean, he gathered the Ephesian elders together and had a farewell speech. And this was part of his speech in Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears, or in tears. Not tears of frustration, but tears of love and concern. Again, Paul writes in Colossians 1:28. He says this: we proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Our church leaders in particular have an admonishing role. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says this: now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. And so we can see from the Bible that we are to admonish each other. Now, what are some examples of admonishing each other? Well, I have two today, one from the Bible and one from outside the Bible. Now, in Mark 10, we come across an incident which shows in many respects how much the disciples had not learned in their 3 years with Jesus. On the road to Jerusalem for the final time, James and John take Jesus aside and they ask that in his coming kingdom they could be on his left and right side. In effect, they are asking to be number 2 and 3 in the kingdom of God. Now, when the disciples hear about this, they're pretty concerned. Now, what does Jesus do? Well, he both teaches them and he admonishes them. He teaches the brothers, James and John, that his core role, Christ's core role, was to serve, and so their core role should be to serve as well. And so he teaches and admonishes. Notice how at one and the same time he does these things. He earnestly warns and he conveys disapproval to the brothers. And we pick this up in Mark chapter 10, verses 41 and to 45. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John, probably because they hadn't thought to ask first. So there we go. James and John have asked to be second and third, and the disciples indignant. Verse 42. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus warns his disciples not to be like James and John, and not to be like the Gentiles who try to lord it over each other. Jesus conveys disapproval. He admonishes James and John with a firm, not so with you. But notice what Jesus didn't do. Jesus didn't accuse the brothers. He didn't blame or shame James and John. He didn't make an obvious example of them in public. There was no hint of raised voice or sarcasm with Jesus. He admonished gently, earnestly, but firmly. So there's an example. Now, Paul has many examples of how to admonish, but we're going to go look to an outside source. And this outside source is from a TV advertising campaign. It's a few years old now, a little bit dated, but it's very clever. And the campaign is to moderate alcohol drinking. And in this short video clip, a rugby player admonishes his good friend called Sam. So let's see how this plays out.
But he's not a player.
Are you coming next Saturday or what?
Oh yeah, bro. Keen as. Cool. Shall I bring anything?
Oh, it's pretty casual, Sammy. Same for the barbie, a couple of brews. Just leave your mates behind the stall, mate.
What mates?
Oh, you know. Shouty Sam.
Behind, bro. Mate. No, Jono, I didn't drop the ball. Admit it!
Punchy, Sam.
Hey. Oh, hey.
Hit on everyone's missus, Sam.
Let's go.
And I think that's when almost got arrested Sam turned up. Sammy. We're mates, right? I'm telling you, you just got us all you're drinking out. Come.
However you do it, tell them to ease up on the drink.
It's good, isn't it? It's very gentle, but very firm. That, and you can tell that Sam's mate really loved him like a brother, didn't he? But he was quite firm that he should give up on his drinking. So that's a really wonderful example of how we can admonish. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have more of this sort of thing, what we see with Jesus and his disciples and what we saw with Sam's mate in our church, but not just our churches, but our families and workplace. Imagine the difference we could make in people's life. For admonishing one another helps us nudge us back to our true north. Now let's turn from examples to some guidelines to help us with admonishing others. As you watch that video, some of you might have made a mental list of people that after church you're going to admonish. You might have a list of people that you might wave your finger at. I think that would be quite rare. Most of us are thinking, well, there's no way I could do that. I hate confrontation. What if they take it the wrong way? And that's very normal and very human. So we need a framework, some instruction, how to admonish one another in a healthy, God-honoring way. And to do this, I suggest that we ask ourselves three questions before we admonish. And the first question we ask is, am I genuinely concerned for my brother or sister? Listen to Paul writing to the church in Corinth after he admonished them. After he admonished them in a letter, he said this, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. And that's the attitude that Sam's friend had, isn't it? He didn't want to shame his rugby friend, but that he loved him as a brother. And this is exactly the attitude that Paul had. And if you read Paul's letter, sometimes he writes some really stern tellings off to the people in the various churches. But he always moderates it either in another letter or elsewhere in the letter with this, I did not write to shame you. You are my beloved children. And reminder, of course, back to the Ephesians quote, he said to the elders, 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears, because he was concerned for the elders and the Christians in the church at Ephesus. So that's the first question we ask. Am I genuinely concerned for the person that I am about to admonish? Now, the second one is a tricky one. It's a hard one. Am I on the right track myself? Jesus is crystal clear about this. We need to make sure that we are on the right track ourselves before we admonish one another. Listen to these well-known words that we find in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So here's the challenge. Not all of us are perfect. However, we cannot admonish a brother and sister if we have problems with that issue we are challenging them with. So if we take the example of Sam's friend, if Sam's friend had a problem with drinking, he would be in no place to tell Sam to cut it down. That makes sense, isn't it? Sam wouldn't have listened to his mate. And it's the same with us. If we have someone that has explosive anger that just goes bang and devastates, before we admonish them, do we have a problem with anger? And if we do, then it's probably not our role, but maybe someone else's. What about someone who gossips and it's really destroying your network of relationships? Before you admonish that person, are you good at keeping confidence? If you are, then you have the ground to admonish that person. Now, your life might have other areas. It will have other areas that you're working on. But in the area that you're admonishing someone, you need to go before God and pray. Am I right to do this? Again, I'll say it again, none of us are perfect, but the Bible does call us to help people move back to their true north, to find their centre in Christ. So that's the second question, am I on the right track? And the third question we do well to ask ourselves is, am I clear about what I am doing? I mean, why are we doing this? Now, the reason we're doing this is to reconcile people back to their true north. Instead of them going way over this way, we're asking them or nudging them back to their true north. Paul communicates this and from the heart when he writes to the wayward Christians in the Corinthian church. In his first letter to Corinthians, he says lots of positive things, but boy, does he say some harsh things. He gets right into the admonishing. And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, Paul knew exactly what he was doing when he wrote this, verse 8. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. So Paul is rejoicing that even though he admonished in his first letter, in his second letter, in between, he'd got feedback that they had received it well and they had changed. And he carries on as well, continuing in verse 9. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. And of course, that's what we're concerned about, isn't it? When we admonish someone, we think, oh, we're going to hurt that person. But if we do it with the right attitude and God's strength, it's for their good. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leads no regret. So we can imagine Sam's friend, 12 months after that conversation in the rugby stand, 12 months later, we can imagine Sam, his friend, sitting down with Sam and saying, listen, mate, I didn't regret what I said back to you 12 months ago. I know it hurt, but that was the wake-up call that you needed. You could have carried on drinking, Sam, until it had destroyed you and your friends. But now look at you. You've changed direction. You're on the right track. Well done, mate. And your rugby playing has improved. Don't you wish you had a friend like that? We all wish we had a friend like that. And do you know, we can be that friend for others. That's what admonishing can do. And let's draw this to a close. Do you know that God is on your side? The God of the universe, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God that sent Jesus on that first Christmas, that God that broke his heart when Jesus died on the cross for you and I. He's on your side. And in his patience, he sends his Holy Spirit to transform us, to make us more like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? What a privilege. But in this journey, there are dangers and pitfalls. Not all who proclaim Christ today will be proclaiming Christ at life's end. Our spiritual compass easily strays from its true north, and we cannot reach journey's end by ourselves. Many of us think we can, but we cannot reach journey's end without each other. And this is why all of the each others, the loving each other, the encouraging each other, the praying for each other, and the ones that we're going to look in at the new year, and admonishing one another are so important. They're all important because they are God's plan to keep us on the true path, to keep us on the way, to keep us in the circle of his embrace, and to move us forward to his glorious kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, a lot of us are comfortable with loving and encouraging and praying for each other, but when it comes to admonishing, we really struggle. Maybe we've received a very bad admonishing or telling off in the past and it still hurts, or maybe we're just very shy. Help us, Lord, to grow in this area. Help us as a church to be gracious and to hear each other with humility and grace. May you be glorified, Lord, in our presence, in our lives, through Christ our Lord. Amen.